radio show where country music gets up close and personal. Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
Are just a few of the many hits from Manitoba country group Doc Walker. The group has earned its fair share of CCMA awards and nominations, and even won a Juno. Along with winning awards, they've won the hearts of country fans with their tender ballads, rockin' songs, and fun videos. Doc Walker's latest album is called 16 and 1, featuring the hits Country Girl and Do It Right. They're currently on their Are You With Me Tonight Tour 2011, where they're singing past hits, new tracks, and some Christmas songs. Doc Walker is Chris Thorsteinson, Dave Wasilu, and Murray Pulver. My pleasure now to welcome Chris from Doc Walker to the show. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, doing terrific. How about yourself?
Good, good. We're just we had the day off today and did some media, and now we're heading to Canada AM tomorrow for one of those the dreaded musician Canada AM show, but. You get to
yeah,
sing at 7 o'clock
that?
In the morning.
Yeah, you guys are late-night guys, and how do you psych up for a morning show?
Well, you know, we are late-night guys, but you know, we got kids. I got three kids now, and one's 4 months old, so I'm pretty used to getting up at pretty much any time.
We'll go back in the past in a little bit, but let's talk about the new album, 16 and 1. I love the story behind this. You recorded it at an old school that you and your dad bought, and you didn't know what you were going to do with it at first, but you turned it into a studio and made the album there.
Yeah, it was right across from my dad's place, and the community wanted to get rid of it. And, you know, small towns all across the Midwest are, you know, obviously it's tough times all over the place, but small towns is usually the first ones to get hit. And, you know, they move a lot of the kids to the bigger centers, and this elementary school was vacant, so we bought it. We ended up rehearsing and storing some gear in there. And, you know, I started recording some of the rehearsals, and some of the sounds were pretty phenomenal. And I thought, well, we got the facility. Why not just build a studio to record demos? So we started recording some demos, and then we ended up saying, hey, let's just make a record here. You know, just camp out for a couple weeks and sort of do that sort of old school, forgive the pun, but sort of old school way of recording where you just sit around and talk about songs and see what happens instead of having to be on such a schedule, you know?
Yeah, because you guys didn't have to clock out at 6 o'clock. You could stay till, as I was reading online, till 3 in the morning if the mood struck you.
Well, you know, and that's the great thing about having your own studio is, you know, when you're in Nashville or Toronto or Vancouver, anywhere for that matter, you know that you have a day where the day ends around 6-7 o'clock at night. You know, it was good to be able to work on a song and get the bed track and look at each other and go, why don't we do it this way? And just re-record everything. And I think that's why this record is as interesting as it is, because we had the time and the freedom to sort of do things the way we wanted to.
And you've, as always, written songs, the band has written songs for the album. You've covered a couple of songs. Let's talk about the covers for a moment. I went back to listen to the originals, and it's just cool the way you've taken the songs. Bob Seger, Get Out of Denver, for example. It's such a rockin' song from start to finish. What made you guys choose that song to put on the album?
Well, there was a lot of, I wouldn't say mid-tempos on this record, but I think what it was missing was that real, you know, a Chuck Berry rock and roll, pretty much, you know?
Right.
And the producer that we had, was John was like John Ellis from Vancouver. He's done a lot of work with some other artists in Canada, Tara Oram,
yeah,
and some other people, Ridley Bent. Anyway, he's sitting there and he's like, you know, we used to play this Bob Seger song, and he goes, I think out of the year that we played it, I think we got it right once, because it's pretty hard to sing and it's a pretty fast song. I'm like, well, let's listen to it.
Right.
So we listened to it and we started messing around with it. And like I said, it, you know, that was 8-9 o'clock at night, and we had standed up, you know, working it out, and it just it's a blast to play live. I got to tell you, and I'm such a Bob Seger fan, to be able to do a Bob Seger song like that, that wasn't such a huge Bob Seger hit. You know, it's not like Turn the Page or anything where,
yeah.
You know, you're going to be judged for doing such a commercial song. It was just sort of a, every time, whether it's the Genesis song we did or Delamitri or Bruce Springsteen, we try to pick songs that weren't humongous hits that we can put our own twist on to it and not get too much flack over it, I guess.
That's so true. Once if the song is so popular and everybody knows it, you're right, people listen, and you can't help sometimes but compare it to the original.
Well, you know, and that's what I was really worried about with the Genesis song. But, you know, I think that one, that was such a magical moment in Nashville when we were recording that song, that, you know, we were recording it in Justin Ebank's garage, who he does actually a lot of the Keith Urban overdubs there. And, you know, we had a couple of players from Jason Aldean's band in, and, you know, we started jamming it, and it just, we couldn't get to that red record button fast enough, because it just it seemed to really fall into place.
Yeah, it's a great version. I love that, the cover of the Genesis, That's All. And I really find it interesting when a country group takes a song that wasn't originally country and makes it that way, and it really works in that case.
Well, it does. As long as you're respectful to the original artist, because there's a reason it was such a huge hit. You know, so
right.
What we didn't want to do was change it to the point where it was unrecognizable. We just really wanted to be respectful, but yet give it sort of a Doc Walker twist.
Very nice. Now, the other cover on the album is the Crash Test Dummies in Canada. We all know the group. They had so many great songs out. And Brad Roberts from the group, the lead singer, joined you on the song called Disappear
yeah.
Now. Well, yeah, how did that come about, and what was it like to have Brad on the song with you?
Murray's walking past me right now. Murray was a big part in getting Brad on that song.
Awesome.
He played with the Crash Test Dummies for about 4 or 5 years. And
cool.
He played on that their record Worm's Life. And,
yep.
You know, he'd be touring with Brad off and on. And I've always been such a huge fan of the Dummies that I wanted to do something, you know, in our project and get them in on it. So, you know, when he agreed to do it, it was pretty phenomenal. I mean, it was kind of a dream come true for me to sit and listen to one of our records and hear Brad sing on it, because I'm just such a huge
yeah.
fan.
Yeah, it has a lot of magic to it, having his voice on it as well, and you guys sing so great together.
Well, and it's that Manitoba connection too, you know. Those were a bunch of guys from Winnipeg who kind of paved their own way, did it their way, and it worked
yeah.
pretty good for those guys.
Because there's nobody else like them. They're an original band, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I think that's the one thing that we pride ourselves being from Manitoba and from the Midwest, whether, you know, Saskatchewan or Manitoba or Midwest Alberta. I think, you know, the Guess Who being from Winnipeg and
yep.
a lot of great rock and roll bands, BTO, it's, you know, back in the day before internet, a lot of the influences from Vancouver, LA, and Toronto, and New York didn't really get to Manitoba until they weren't new anymore. So we were stuck in the middle of nowhere, just trying to create our own music. So I think that's what sort of gives that Midwestern rock and roll that unique sound.
Definitely. And another band I was reading up on that influenced you a lot, Chris, in your teen years and as you were getting more and more into music, the Double Eagle Band.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know, they're from Portage la Prairie, Manitoba, and their harmonies were phenomenal. And I mean, for a group from Portage la Prairie back in the 80s, you know, they were right up there with the Nitty Gritty Dirt Bands and the Alabamas when it came to harmonies.
Yeah.
So when I started a band, you know, the first thing we had to do is we had to have three singers and we had to have great harmony. And, you know, I always dedicate anything that we've you know, any success Doc Walker has is definitely from, you know, the inspiration that I got from that band.
It's so great to hear harmonies in songs like the Double Eagle Band, the Eagles, and, of course, Doc Walker. I mean, it's in all your songs, but thinking just of one right now, That Train, when you get to that part of the song where you're all on it, it's so powerful to hear all three of you on that.
Well, you know, the funny thing about that song is that I didn't write that as a song. I bought my first Pro Tools, I think it was an M-Box or something, and for me to be able to layer harmonies, I would just sit for hours, you know, trying to make up cool harmonies. And I thought, well, I got to write a song so I can sing harmonies. So I had no idea I was writing a song. I just sang a melody line that would work well with harmonies. And it was basically the chorus for That Train. And I just did all the harmonies myself and made up these neat harmonies. And we were sitting with a writer in Nashville. And I'm like, well, I got this idea of a chorus. And then he went off on the, well, we should make it into three different parts where it's about, you know, about an alcoholic and then, a girl that's, you know, in a bad relationship. And then I'm like, well, then us on the road, you know, everybody who's going through tough times has something in common. And it ended up being one of the most powerful songs we've ever written.
Definitely. And I'm sure you've had feedback from fans talking about how it either affected their life or somebody around them.
Definitely. You know, the song Rocket Girl, we didn't write that. It was Denny Carr and Jason McCoy who wrote that. But, you know, the amount of people that have been affected by that song and the stories that we've gotten and the emails that we have, to know that your music has that kind of power to change people's lives, it definitely, it scares the heck out of you sometimes because you feel you have a, you know, an added responsibility to make sure you're getting the right message across. But, you know, it's also really flattering that you know, we can do that kind of thing.
And then you balance it out, of course, with the fun songs. And the one we're going to share now, Chris, is Country Girl, the first single from 16 and 1. And the video for it's cool, too. I understand you shot it is it an iPhone? And then Stefano Barberis fixed it up a little bit?
Well, yeah, Stefano actually came out to the studio for a week and documented a lot of sort of what went on during the recording of this record and did a lot of interviews. And I mean, it's the same thing about, I look at a camera kind of like a guitar. I mean, you give Murray a $100 guitar and he's going to make it sound better if I had a brand new Les Paul. It's just sort of who's behind the camera and who's behind the guitar. And, you know, right. Stefano did a great job of putting the footage together and just making it into a real kind of cool vibey video that really sort of portrayed what we were doing at the time.
And the song itself, what can you tell us about it? Any story behind it?
Well, Country Girl it started out as a riff. I mean, this whole record kind of started out as riffs. We'd sit in the school and just jam. And it's funny, we haven't done that in about 10 years. You kind of forget how to be kids again, where you sit with a, you know, bass, drums, and guitar and just jam stuff out. And Murray had that pretty unique lick off the start of the song. I'm like, oh, we got to write some of that. And I kind of wanted to write something, you know, something for the country girls from where I'm from. They're not necessarily the buckle bunnies that you see in the big country bars in the cities. They're the girls that get up at, you know, the crack of dawn at 5 o'clock in the morning and they're out doing chores. And the first line is, this rings so true. You know, I mean, they do have more sets of rubber boots and work boots than high heel shoes. And those are a little ode to them.
Awesome. Well, let's share the song now. This is Doc Walker and a Country Girl here on In the Country. And that is Doc Walker from their latest album, 16-1. That is called Country Girl. And you can find out more about them at docwalker.ca. I'm speaking with Chris Thorsteinsson from the group. And it's great to have you here, Chris. Yeah, it's been a real pleasure so far. And we've got five questions on the way from fans. It's a five from the fan segment. And we're going to be giving them each a copy of the latest CD when we read the question on the air in just a little bit.
Awesome.
Yeah, we got some interesting ones. Let's talk about Victoria Banks. You guys co-wrote a big hit for her that everybody sings along to. It's so catchy, called I'm Gonna Make You Love Me. How did that come about, and how did you feel once the song was written?
Well, you know, the funny thing about that day was we actually wrote Hard Act to Follow first, which made it on the last record, 16-1, and that's where Murray sings the second verse. And I mean, that's one of my favorite songs on the new record. And I wish it had been on the other record. It just didn't seem to fit. But we finished Hard Act to Follow, and I think it was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And we're like, hey, you want to go for lunch, or want to try to write another one? Murray's like, well, I've got this idea of, I'll write a song called I'm Gonna Make You Love Me. He kind of sang a bit of the chorus, and I'm like, well, in a way that kind of reminds me of the movie The Notebook, where the guy will go to any lengths to win this girl over. You know, it doesn't matter if he's got to hang off of a Ferris wheel or just, you know, basically in a stalker sort of way, I'm gonna make you love me. And we kind of approached the song like that, where it was just, you know, this guy's so in love with this girl that he's just not going to stop. And I think it's sort of in that endearing way of that, not the creepy part of it. But yet, people say that it does sound a little creepy, this song.
That's funny. Well, there's the song by Sting, Every Breath You Take, and it's, you know, a lot of people take it as a love song, but apparently...
Yeah, if that's not a stalker song, I don't know what it is. So I think ours is a little bit more tongue-in-cheek.
Exactly, and when you see the video, too, you see the tongue-in-cheek quality to it as well.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. That was filmed in the East Coast and out in Australia. That was a blast.
Now, you guys toured in Australia. Is it 2 times you've been over there already?
3, yeah. We've been over there 3 times. Mm-hmm. And you know, Australians, it's amazing how similar the country music scene is in Australia and Canada. I mean, you know, we don't have a clue about any of the artists in Australia, but we go over there and they're, you know, they're hugely famous country artists. So for us to go over there and to be invited into that sort of Australian country music family was pretty amazing. And I think they really relate to the Doc Walker songs, and they've embraced the band, which, you know, I mean, when you live in Manitoba and it's 40 below in January and it's 36 above in Australia, it's not a bad place to be.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good plan.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah, our plans revolve around where we can be when it's cold.
That's great. I guess, yeah, Manitoba is known for the chillier weather, isn't it?
Oh, for sure. You know, but I mean, you get used to it. And I was born a prairie guy, and I think I'll always definitely live on the prairies. I love the idea of you know, being able to watch my dog run away for a couple of days.
That's right. I've heard that the roads are just flat, right? Going forever?
Oh, it's pretty much what it's like.
Now, you guys, I've seen videos of your concerts, and you do your songs acoustically a lot of times. Is that something you look forward to in the show, and do you do that in every show?
Well, we try to. I mean, sometimes we're playing a club or a bigger venue where it's not going to translate. We don't do it. But I always like to... You know, just to get the three of us around a microphone with an acoustic, and that, for me, that came from, I think it was American Country Music Awards, or the Country Music Awards, the CMAs, I'm not sure, but I know I saw Alison Krauss from Union Station play a song just around one microphone, and it sounded so phenomenal, where the artist sort of moved in out of the microphone, and it just seemed so natural. And I think, you know, when you got... Murray and Dave, who are such great singers and players, and the way we sing together, I think it's a nice treat for the fans, for us just to sit and give them a taste of what it's like when we write the songs, when it's just 3 acoustics and us.
Yeah, it can bring a whole new dimension to a song when you hear it just acoustically, because, of course, you're focusing more on the vocals. As a listener, we're focusing on the vocals and the words, and nothing else is really getting in the way.
Absolutely. You know, and I mean, at the Country Music or the Canadian Country Music Awards a couple of years ago when we played I'm Gonna Make You Love Me, that's where that idea came from Alison Krauss's. You know, we wanted to do something a little bit unique. We wanted to do something unique for the show rather than just playing. You know, we played quite a few years in the show, and we wanted to do something different. And I mean, the when it comes to budgets, and you think, oh, I'd like to have this backdrop and that backdrop, and we're just like, you know what, why don't we just do what we did on the tour? Let's just go, the three of us are on one microphone. We'll make everybody happy because the budget will be really low on that one.
Exactly.
Yeah, they were happy when we came up with that idea.
Who was that?
I said they were happy when we came up with that idea. They're like, oh, less trouble for us. Awesome. But I think it turned out really well, and I think even in TV it translated. Just, you know, to get, like I said, we toured that whole tour by, you know, showcasing two or three songs acoustically. So it was just kind of a nice thing to do.
Yeah. And another thing recently was sort of a first, you and Dave shared lead vocals on the song If I Fall. It's a great song to begin with, but it was so cool to hear both of you on there. He's got an amazing voice as well.
Well, he's got a solo project out right now called Gomi. And if anybody wants to check it out, it's gomi.ca. And, you know, a lot of the songs on there are songs that Marie and I had written with Dave, but he's got such a unique voice and outlook on music. I'm glad he finally got a solo project going. But, you know, and with If I Fall, that was actually, we were tracking the song, and Dave, we didn't have a second verse written yet, but Dave had stayed up all night writing it. So we were in the studio tracking it. I'm like, well, I don't know the words for the second verse. You just sing it. So he just sang the words because he wrote them. And then the producer goes, well, we should just keep it like that. So, you know, it's one of those spontaneous things that turned out pretty good.
Yeah, I've heard stories before of that from artists where it's that spontaneous thing that happens that becomes magic, but it wasn't planned in the first place.
Exactly. And that's what music's all about. If you get it, sometimes if it's too planned and too forced, it just doesn't, it sort of feels and sounds unnatural. So it's, if there's, you know, if a spade's a spade, call it a spade, you know? Why do I try to make it into like a diamond or something?
Do you guys, all three of you, always agree on either a song you've written or, say, a cover song, or does one of you ever have to convince the others?
Well, not really. You know, I mean, that's sort of the cool thing with us. It's always been a one-for-all kind of thing, all-for-one kind of deal, where we've never really had to fight that out because we all kind of, you know, knock on wood. But so far, we've all pretty much agreed that, you know, I think we just have a good sense of what's best for the band and what we can make sound the best. So when it comes to cover songs or what song's going to represent us best on radio, we all, and even with management and label, we've been pretty fortunate that we've always had a really good relationship and everybody's always sort of been on the same page.
That's great. And now CMT Crossroads, as you know, Chris, takes artists from country and puts them with artists from other genres, and then they sort of share each other's songs. And recently I was quite interested to hear Sting and Vince Gill will be doing that together, an interesting pairing.
Wow.
If Doc Walker were to choose somebody else to share a stage with, like CMT Crossroads, speaking for the group, can you think of a group from another genre you'd want to share that stage with?
Well, first would be the Eagles, but I don't know if that's,
nice.
That's a little unrealistic, but for me, I would love to do that. You know, like a Little River Band would be a really cool thing, or you know, to keep it Canadian, I would love to do something with Loverboy or Blue Rodeo. You know, I think Loverboy,
cool.
We've actually done some shows in the past with rock artists, with the Trues and Chilliwack and Loverboy, where we've been on a basically a rock festival on the bill, because we do play quite a few rock tunes, and we're not sort of your traditional country band, and the country stuff we do play is almost that old Eagles kind of rock.
Yep.
So, you know, I if I had to pick one, I don't know. I think, I don't know, I'm just going to speak on behalf of the guys, but I'd love to do something with Loverboy. That'd be cool.
That'd be very cool. Very cool. They got great songs.
Oh, my God, they ever.
Oh, yeah, they're awesome. Greatest Hits album. I was reading online, Chris, that you guys are getting ready to release one next year with a couple of new songs on it.
Yeah, but, you know, the thing is, I'm totally against Greatest Hits records. I mean, I always have been. So for me to be in a position to have to put one together, and you don't have to. I'm not saying that we have to do it. But, you know, we're getting to the point now where we'd like to celebrate 10 years of Doc Walker, you know. And we're trying to throw around different ideas on how we could make that a big celebration. I mean, it's funny you mentioned that right after the Crossroads things. You know, an idea we have is to take, you know, maybe 8 songs that Doc Walker has had and, you know, approach other artists, whether it be, you know, Loverboy or The Trues or you know, Jan Arden or anybody. I mean, we haven't asked anybody yet, so I better start getting on the phone here. But you know, I'd love to have other artists perform our songs with us and give us their... So the way they would do it if Trues or Loverboy were doing it. I think that would be
a great twist.
That would be a really interesting way of, you know, putting together a Greatest Hits package. And also, we're looking to LA for the next... for a while after this tour is done, to do some writing with some people we haven't seen in LA in a while. So I think that's gonna, you know, that's gonna make another twist to the new album, and also the fact that we're definitely not done. I mean, if anything, it'll just be the second of Doc Walker. So by no means, I don't want to, you know, say that Greatest Hits and then the band's done, because every record we do, it just seems like we're getting going.
Exactly. That's terrific. Let's turn, Chris, to another song. Then we're going to come back and get these questions from the fans. I've got lined up here. There's some interesting ones. The song we're going to play now is Do It Right, which is your current single. A really great song and a moving song. What can you tell us about it, Chris?
Well, that was written with Monty Powell, who's a great writer in Nashville. And that was another song that was supposed to be on the last record, but we had too many ballads. So we didn't end up recording it. And I was like, but I want to record that song. But to me, it just sounds like a really good, honest power ballad, but also in the fact that, you know, the first lines are a lot like I was in high school. I, you know, usually have 2 left feet in the dance floor. I mean, I was never the guy that, you know, would just, I was always sort of the loser in the corner. This song really kind of works for me well.
That's great. Well, let's share the song now, Doc Walker and Do It Right. We're speaking with Chris from the group here on In the Country.
Usually I have 2 left feet on the dance floor. Never used to say no. Now this time I won't let you walk away. I just wanna do it right. No, I don't.
Manitoba Country Group, Doc Walker. It's from their album 16 and 1. It's their latest, and the song is called Do It Right. I'm speaking with Chris Thorsteinsson from the group. And, Chris, now it's time to turn to five from the fans. We got five questions. A couple of them are comments from the fans, and each of these are winning the latest CD.
Awesome. Well, that's really good.
Yeah, we had some great entries, so we got some random drawings here. The first one is Linda Ewing from Mississauga, Ontario, and she wanted to know, Chris, does Doc Walker have any rituals they do before their shows?
Not really. You know, we used to, but they didn't seem to affect the show that much. So I think what we do is I have a ritual where I make up set list every night. I mean, we rarely play the same set list over and over again. I mean, I just don't find that very fun to have to know I'm going to have to do the same thing every night. So, you know, I try to figure out where we are and what worked the night before and what might work, you know, the night we're playing. And so we sit down, we go over the set list, talk about what we're going to talk about, and just have a little, you know, a little get together. So I guess you can call that a little ritual.
Yeah, that sounds like it. Yeah, getting into the zone and focusing in on what you need to do. Next question from Jules Dawson, Windsor, Ontario, a big fan of yours. She wanted to know your most unusual gift you've got from a fan so far.
Well, that would be from her, I think. I think she got me I was doing an interview, and I happened to tell everybody that I'm actually the one guy in the band who does all the ironing. You know, my mom taught me that, how to iron when I was young, and surprisingly, I'm very good at it. She bought me a plastic Fisher Price ironing board, and I told her that I melted it when I tried to use it, but I didn't actually do that.
That's funny though. That is great. So that's a great answer, Jules. And we've got a Doc Walker CD on the way to you. Now we've got Cindy Eskrick from Kincardine, Ontario. Now she sent a big letter here. I won't go into all of it, but it's quite funny. She's been to obviously a ton of your shows, and she's got about five or six questions here. But I'm going to take her number four question from Cindy. Chris, if you were to travel anywhere in the world, where would it be and why?
Oh wow. I'd love to go out to Iceland. I know that sounds like a really odd place to want to go, but I mean, we've been fortunate enough to go to a lot of really cool, warm, exotic places. But, you know, my whole family heritage, I'm about as Icelandic as they come with the last name Thorsteinsson. So I would definitely love to go to Iceland and spend some time there and, you know, get to know the culture a little bit.
Very cool. Cindy Eskrick, thanks for sending in that question from Kincardine, Ontario. And we've got a comment here from Tracy Quast from Kitchener, Ontario. And her friend, Stacey Ziger, has opened up for you guys at Cowboys London. And she just said it was an awesome show.
Yeah, that was. Oh, she was wonderful, too. And she's such a cutie.
Definitely. Yeah, Stacy's a great singer, a great performer, and Tracy was there, and she just fell in love with you guys all over again.
Well, London, actually, that's one. I think there's two shows on the whole tour we're doing that are in clubs. So, you know, you got to change your set list up for a bar, obviously, because, you know, people aren't sitting in their seats like a theater. They're dancing around and waving their arms in the air, and there's an abundance of alcohol. So we definitely change the set list up for those ones.
Very cool. Tracy, thanks for that comment. CD on the way to you, the latest 16-in-1 from Doc Walker. And by the way, folks can head over to iTunes and download that album there from Doc Walker. Our last comment here, okay, this is from Glenda Sheard from Strathcona County, Alberta, and she wanted me to ask you, Chris, if the boys from Doc Walker are heading home to Alberta. She got here to Alberta for Christmas, but perhaps Manitoba, and what's ahead in the new year?
Well, we are going to be home for Christmas, and like I said before, I got three kids, so my wife's been busy shopping, but she's indecisive, so she's waiting until I get home. So that's what I'll be doing when we get home. We'll be running around Christmas shopping, and then the new year, like I said, we're going to Los Angeles to do some writing, and like I said, I just really want to spend a lot of time and make sure that, you know, that this greatest hits package we're putting together is one of the most unique things that we've ever done, and especially for the fans, because if it wasn't for the fans supporting us for the last 10 years, we still wouldn't be, you know, I wouldn't be talking to you on the phone right now. So it's sort of our gift to them to come up with something that's definitely worth, you know, worth their time listening to.
That is very amazing. We're getting set to wrap up here. Just got a few questions just to touch on here. I was curious, or I was interested to find out the origin behind the name Doc Walker. Can you share that story a bit?
Well, cool. It's kind of a, you know, I've tried to, you know, make up different stories once in a while because the real one is kind of boring. But, you know, it's just a simple thing where it was actually the name we had before Doc Walker was so horrible that I couldn't bring myself to call the band Freedom, which that's what it was called.
Okay.
So we had a gig somewhere and had a really terrible cold, and a good friend of mine, Jason Walker, forgot all my cold medication. And I said, oh, good going, Doc Walker. And I'm like, yes, rolls off the tongue. So I walked on stage and said, all right, we're called Doc Walker.
That's great.
He keeps bugging me. Keeps bugging me, Sam. I owe him a case of beer for the name or something. I still haven't bought him that. But
yeah, I think at least a case of beer would suffice for that. But that's amazing.
Maybe this Christmas. That'll be my Christmas gift this year. Case of Bud Light or something.
Yeah, it's amazing how we hear a name now like Doc Walker, and of course we associate with all the great music and you guys, and that's the origin of it. It's pretty amazing.
Well, you know, and I've always been a firm believer in the band makes the name, and nothing against the Eagles or the Beatles, but if they weren't the band that they were, honestly, if somebody had approached me and said, you guys should call yourself the Beatles, I would think they were out of their mind. Or or the Eagles, but like the Eagles, it's such a great band, and the music is so great that it makes the name great. But, you know, if it was a terrible band, that wouldn't be a great name, really.
I thought about that, too, with different names, you know, Green Day, U2. You're right. If it wasn't the band, the name on its own,
the Guess Who,
change the name.
The Guess Who, I mean, really, like the Guess Who. Who would have thought of that, you know? Is that really a good name? But the band, I think the band makes the name, and that's where we weren't too concerned about it. We obviously, you know, I think every artist goes through it with record labels where they go, now, are you sure that's the right name you want to go with? Should you? And we're like, you know what? Let's just stick to making good music, and we'll let the fans decide whether they like the name or not.
Well, another great example, Lady Antebellum. When I first heard it, I thought, what's up with that? But the great music made the name seem right.
And another one, the band Perry. It's like, why don't they just call themselves Perry? Why is it the band Perry? But you know what? They're phenomenal. I saw them at the Country Music Awards, and they absolutely blew me away. And I'm such a huge fan of them that, you know, now I think it's the coolest name in the world.
Exactly. It's great the way that works. Chris, it has been such a pleasure having you on the show. So many fans have been posting online about looking forward to the interview, and this will stay online as well for anybody who missed it. Been a pleasure sharing the songs. I've been a fan for a long time. Thanks for spending the time here, Chris.
Hey, I appreciate that, and thanks to all the fans that wrote in and that come out to the shows. I mean, like I said before, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart, we wouldn't really be able to do what we do for this many years if it wasn't for you guys. So hats off to you.
I'm Dave Woods, and that'll wrap up this edition of In the Country.